And good day, everyone! It's Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. And this is a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format. We keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the cardboard samurai out of the Tokyo area of Japan. How y'all doing today?
I assume just me, because I am the y'all. I mean, maybe they can speak into their headphones.
It's the general, y'all.
Yeah. It's been a couple of interesting weeks. I feel like a lot of the Magic community is kind of down on some of the recent changes, some of the recent announcements. And, you know, there's been lots of rabble, lots of other things going on in the world. So it's been weird to look at Magic, but we're a positive podcast. We're not going to go into all that negativity. Yeah. We're going to get excited about something completely unrelated to whatever's going on in that mess called Standard. And hopefully, if anyone's like, rabble, hate Standard, maybe this is your first time jumping into Pioneer. I don't know if this is a good first episode for new listeners, because we're going to be more about like lore and interesting stuff. But we welcome you. We love anyone joining the Pioneer community, and we hope that we can be good representatives of what Pioneer can be for Magic players.
And I think, just real quick to talk about Pioneer, I kind of feel like it's in its own unique bubble right now. Like you said, there's some crazy stuff going on in Standard just because of the limited resources that you have available to you now after rotation. And if you go back to Modern, then there's just some really unbalanced and really powerful spells. And like Pioneer's in that sweet spot where, you know, you have enough answers for a lot of things, but you also have a little bit more powerful plays that can kind of keep, the game balance.
Yeah, we're kind of insulated from all that nastiness.
Yeah.
You know, like when you look at Modern, it's not really the new cards usually that's breaking Modern. It's a new card making some old card that does something stupid that Magic would never program anymore into a dumb card.
Yeah.
Something like that. And with Standard, you know, I don't think this new set was very powerful other than like a couple of cards, you know, like Omnath, obviously.
Yeah.
And the fact that because this new set, and it's already, you know, it's a new rotation, there's very few sets, and this newest one is rather weak compared to the other sets on a card-for-card basis, other than those couple of standouts, I think that it's just not, you know, impacting the format like people would have liked to see. They would have liked to see something maybe a little more broadly powerful so that it would have been more changes, more things viable. Instead, you've kind of got, like, one deck, and that's no fun. So
yeah,
that's my quick rant about Standard. Maybe I should actually introduce our topic for this week.
Sure, sounds good.
We don't even usually get this off track. Usually we're pretty good about being 100% on Pioneer, but I kind of had to go off onto that tangent. So what we're doing, we're going to continue one of our hopefully fan favorite series. You know, we don't hear from our fans enough, so I don't know if you guys actually enjoy these, but it's something we always like doing. It's kind of quick and easy for us to get one of these ready, is that we like to go through the planes of Pioneer. So the way we kind of always preface this is that in Pioneer, you're kind of uniquely positioned where each of the different sets that make it up is bringing something unique. It's bringing, you know, unique cards, unique mechanics, overarching archetypes. And with an older set like Modern, you don't get those broader archetypes. You only get the individual one or two cards that are powerful from each set. So with Pioneer, there's kind of a nice middle ground where you can bring in like, hey, these are the energy cards. I can build a deck around that. Or like, this is a tribal deck. And you kind of get to bring pieces from all these different planes. So what we like to do is we look at the planes of Pioneer. This is going to be the Theros portion of that series. And we go through and say, hey, what does Theros bring to Pioneer? So looking at it from the competitive view, what are the big cards from it? Looking at it from like, hey, what, you know, interesting mechanics, what interesting archetypes is it bringing to the format? As well as, you know, we kind of usually go a little bit into like, you know, we go back to Theros in the future. What do we want to see more of for Pioneer?
Yeah.
What would we like to see expanded on? So we don't go too lore heavy, but like a little bit of it's like what's interesting, a little bit of it's what's powerful, a little bit of it's what's new in Pioneer. You know, that's kind of our show. So
I mean, yeah, like again, this is for the people that are getting into Pioneer, and it's also for the people that might have forgotten. Maybe they're not super into all, you know, what Pioneer is, and we just want to kind of expose them to the possibilities.
Sure, yeah. Or, you know, you played Standard during Cons of Tarkir, you had Theros in it, and you're like, wait, that card was in Theros? That's now in Pioneer?
Yeah.
Go back and build something, all that fun. All right, have I ranted enough today? I feel like I am just flying off the...
So,
I talk more when my brain is off, if that makes any sense.
You mean you ramble?
Yeah, I just don't stop talking.
Yeah. So, I don't think we've said yet what sets we are going to talk about. So, Theros, the playing of Theros has four sets. There's Theros, there is Born of the Gods, there is Journey into Nyx, and the newest one, Theros Beyond Death. So those are the four sets we're going to be talking about today.
Did you want to talk about any of the Magic Origins cards that are set on Theros?
So I think we kind of skipped it before. You know, Origins has like 10 different planes or something like that. And I think there's a handful of cards that relate to Theros. I think we'll just save that for like... our Dominaria Origins podcast for planes.
Yeah. Okay, so unless if I'm, like, specifically bringing up, like, here's something about Kithian and his past that I want to see brought back in the lore...
That's fine.
Then we can... Okay,
yeah. Yeah, at the end.
At the end, sure. So we'll skip that. Yeah. All right, how do you want to jump off on this?
Let's talk about the enablers. You know, like, when you think about Theros, what kind of mechanics... what kind of archetypes are there? What does having Theros in the format kind of like enable?
All right, so you know, for me, I think the big things that pop off right away are devotion, enchantments. Like those are the two things that through the original Theros block, all three of the sets really cared about that. That's immediately where I'm going to mind. I don't know if that's where you are.
And I think it returned in Theros Beyond Death, right? A little bit.
Yep. So, but enchantment creatures as well as devotion both came back.
Yeah. Except we don't have the what would they call it? The
bestow.
Yeah, they don't have bestow anymore. And I'm trying to think of what was it called? Not Urzatron, not Ultron. When you put all your auras on one creature.
Yeah, like Battlecruiser Magic or...
No, there was another name. It was like
Heroic.
Power Rangers. Sorry, I can't think of it anymore.
But are you talking about Heroic?
No, I was talking about Bestow. Like, we used to actually have, like, an archetype where you just put all these things on top. It's kind of like auras, basically, now that we have with black-white auras, except that they did it with all creature spells.
Nesting dolls, maybe?
No, it'll come to me later. Again, I'm still waking up over here in Japan, so. Devotion, definitely. Constellation kind of goes along with auras, I guess. Or, sorry, with enchantments, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I tell you what, I forget that they brought back Constellation in Theros Beyond Death.
Yeah, it's just more of a fan service or, like, something like that.
Yeah, it's really weird. There's like, you know, three cards or something that have Constellation, I swear.
It was like, kind of probably being limited. A lot
more than that, but
yeah, I mean, yeah. As far as playable, there's like three or four. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know about that. I dislike when they do new mechanics or even returning mechanics and they're only balanced for limited, you know, none of them make it into standard. That always bothers me.
I mean, as far as like limited, the limited abilities are getting more powerful, but it's still just not enough to like break into constructed. You know what I mean? Like, wow, this is so much better than, you know, Oblivion Ring, or this is so much better than this other card, you know, that we had before, you know, like. And I think one of the reasons is because of the last thing that Theros brings to the format, which is Escape.
I was going to say, like, I don't know if it's... In the original Theros, I do feel like the graveyard was a reasonably strong theme, and I think that that was brought back with Escape in Theros Beyond Death in a pretty strong way.
I think we had a lot of ways to put stuff into the graveyard. Did we have a lot of chances to take advantage of the graveyard in the last one?
I think that Whip of Erebos is one that comes to mind. You know, that didn't really get good until a little bit later. I'm sorry, that dog's barking.
Yeah, get those doggos under control.
I wish I could, you know.
Yeah, so
really wish that was possible.
Anything else you think, other than those?
Probably
mechanics?
Just a call out for the gods. You know, they were such an impactful, unique part of the original Theros. They were brought back reasonably well in Theros Beyond Death. I think that overall they were less interesting mechanically and mostly less powerful, although one of them did end up getting a card banned, so I can't say too crazy, but.
Yeah, I would like this. Another mechanic I would like to have seen get better was Monstrosity. I really liked that mechanic. I loved playing Polychronos, and the one that relied on your graveyard, you know, to get cheaper to use its Monstrosity ability. And, you know,
I like that one a lot.
Didn't really get anything like that. I guess it's kind
of something of humans.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of what the escape is. It's like escape is Monstrosity now.
Yeah, and you know, they just did Evolve, or Mutate? No, wait, which is the one I'm thinking of?
Mutate's the one that's in Ikoria.
It's not Evolve, it's not Mutate, it's the one that puts things on, like, Merfolk and stuff.
It's an enchantment?
It's kind of the fixed Monstrosity. You know, you, like, pay a certain amount and add that many counters, and it does something when you add counters to them.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it right now.
I'll remember it in a minute here.
So archetypes real quick, like you said, devotion was one of the things that kind of was enabled because of this. White devotion is probably the big winner. What about black devotion?
For Pioneer, yeah.
Yeah, what about black devotion or green devotion? Would you say those are also viable because of Theros?
I mean, I think that they wouldn't be... So when you talk about green devotion, you're really talking about Nykthos, and that's, I think, one of the biggest cards that the sets bring, really. That's kind of the devotion card in some ways.
I don't think it's really playable anymore, though, right?
I don't think there's... I think it will be playable again. I think that, you know, right now that deck is struggling a little bit, but I don't think that it's bad anyway. Yeah,
because it doesn't have 10 mana on turn 2 anymore.
Well, it's still got most of, like, what has it lost? It hasn't really lost anything.
Leyline of Abundance.
Sure, yeah, Once it doesn't have the turn to win. Yeah, it doesn't have the turn to win, but, you know, it got Oath back.
Yeah.
I think that it's been a very reasonable deck. I like the Green Planeswalkers deck. It's a fun one.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. I wouldn't say that's really a devotion deck. It's more of an offshoot.
Sure, so, it's not like green stompy devotion, which is kind of what we saw in Standard. Wish that was possible. I don't think that quite gets there. Adapt is what I was talking about, by the way.
Blue devotion, not that good. I think black devotion could still be playable. It just needs a few more good black cards. You know, the historic version is really good because it has Phyrexian Obliterator, so it just needs a couple more impactful cards, I think.
Yeah, we're kind of missing that piece for Pioneer. Blue, you know, we're kind of missing something to do on turns 1 and 2, maybe. I think that's got to be what it's missing. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but before everyone was playing the 1/4 weird that you could switch to 4/1.
Yeah, we've got a little better, but not a lot better. And you know, that deck did season play. Like, we did see a blue devotion deck. It would play things like Gadwick the Wizened.
And didn't it also have Thassa's Oracle in there as well?
Yeah, that's good 2-drop.
So it's possible. And once we get more cards in the future, but devotion definitely something that we get because of Theros. So thank you, Theros.
So any other big devotion cards you can think of, like just individual cards?
We'll talk about those a little bit later, I think.
Okay.
I want to just go over the archetypes real quick. So you were talking about heroic earlier. Would you still classify the feather decks as heroic decks?
I think that, yes, I still count them as heroic. You know, even when they're not playing many cards that say heroic, they're still playing the Theros Beyond Death card that is heroic without saying heroic. The what is his name? The Legionnaire.
Yeah, the 2/2 haste that gets a counter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like more of like a way of playing, not so much, you know, attached to the actual, like you said, mechanic word on
heroic
the card.
Is a way of life. Yeah. I agree.
That's what the feather is. The feather deck is basically, you know, it's all about, you know, cantripping and, you know, getting those, you know, cards back as quickly as possible and using them on your creatures again and again and again. And that's heroic to me.
Yeah.
And I think those cards, heroic, could slot into those decks at any point in the future, depending on the metagame. Right now, maybe it's not, you know, as, how can I say, it's not as pertinent. I don't know if that's the right word to use. to use, you know, the heroic cards in there, but, you know, it could in the future. So, yeah, Feather is a heroic.
Okay, I like that.
Any other archetypes that Theros gave us before bannings, maybe?
Am I missing something that you're trying to lead me towards? Because yeah. I'm like, I feel like enchantments just didn't quite get there in Pioneer ever.
Well, I was saying before bannings.
I mean, are you talking about... Are you talking about... Because we already mentioned Heliod ban.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
No, not Heliod. It was the other banning.
The most recent standard ban?
No, in Pioneer.
All right, what have we missed?
It uses a land. A land that has hexproof.
Is that from Theros? I don't think that's
from No,
Theros.
It isn't, but Underworld Breach was from Theros.
Oh, okay.
So that, Breach, that's reasonable. Breach decks, I thought, you know, using the graveyard and stuff like that. It's banned now.
Sure, I guess that fits into... That's Escape, yeah. So that makes sense.
It's banned now, but it was very good. So, you know, those types of archetypes brought to you by Theros, just not viable now. Yeah, I think...
Yeah, that was a silly little ban.
Is there any other archetype I'm missing here, or does that pretty much cover what Theros brought to us?
You know, I think that it's added some things to some archetypes. Like, I feel like there were some decent red aggressive cards between the sets. Mm-hmm. But those will probably just be, like, individual call-outs. It's not like, oh, we couldn't play red aggro if we didn't have Theros. You know.
If we talk about the past metagames and stuff like that, we could say, like, Whip of Erebos was a deck as well.
Yeah, and that was never really in Pioneer.
Yeah, it wasn't really in Pioneer. There's too much graveyard hate now.
I mean, there's, like, 8 decks that wouldn't exist without Wayfinder.
Yeah. Yeah, Wayfinder's something really like good. That. So, yeah, you want to just jump into cards then? Because, yeah, Wayfinder's a really good card to talk about when we get to green.
Yeah, well, then let's start with red.
You want to start with red?
Because sure. I was stuck. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to change it up from Wooburg for once. And, you know, just because I was thinking of what's really good in, you know, like mono red, I don't know, the Great Revel is one that comes to mind. Mm. It's just, like, such a staple card for being so strong.
In all formats.
I think that we're a little bit away from it being the most common flavor of red aggro, where it's like really heavy on red, but just a great card. Shuts down a lot of things that are nasty in Pioneer. It was doing a good job of hating out some of the cards that need to be hated out for a while, so really happy it's in Pioneer.
Yeah, it keeps those super hyper aggressive cantripping decks honest, you know, if you have that. So definitely on my list. I think another one, this is kind of hard actually, that was definitely number one, it's easy to choose that, but the other two, I would say Anger of the Gods is another really good card that Theros brought to us, you know, that's
a great one.
Exile effects, three damage and, you know, 3 mana, it's really good rate. What else did you have on your list though?
Ooh, for mono red?
Just mono red in general.
Or for red.
Yeah, so from any of those 4 sets, you know, that we're talking about today, what else did red bring to us?
Yeah, there's been a couple random times where Stormbreath Dragon was good, but for the most part, white isn't a strong enough removal color for anyone to play that. So that's kind of gotten met out of there because of it.
Just wait till you get Path of Exile back.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's also competing with things like Glorybringer is the other big reason. I don't know. I don't want to say red is bad. There's got to be something else that we're missing here. What am I missing? come on, chat.
What about
we clearly have live chat.
We do have live chat going on right now, but I don't know if anybody's actually here yet because I just posted that we're going live. So, how about Lightning Strike?
So that's a kind of a maybe counts. You know, it has been reprinted in Pioneer and other places, so it's not a...
But the first time was in Theros, right?
Yes.
I believe. Or was it M15?
M15 is after Theros.
Okay, then yes, it wasn't Theros then. Yeah, so I would say Lightning Strike's a very... I mean, it's Pioneer's Lightning Bolt, basically, right?
I don't know about that. You know, there's other cards that I don't mind playing, like if it's between Lightning Bolt or Bonecrusher Giant, I don't mind... Or Lightning Strike or Bonecrusher Giant, I think there's... good reason to play Giant.
Yeah, okay, so it's not bad, you're saying.
Yeah, it's a good card.
So it sounds like you're having trouble kind of deciding what is really good from Red. But what's kind of good? So, you know, I think last time we did this topic, we kind of had like honorable mentions. Is there something that just misses, you know, that's really good, but maybe just, you know, isn't in Pioneer right now?
Oh, what's that Seder? Fire Drinker Seder sees a little play. That's kind of, I'm like, borderline.
The one that deals damage when you deal damage to the player, you mean? The 1/1?
If something deals damage to it, it deals that much damage to you, but it's a 2/1 that can Fire Breath.
Okay, so okay, that powerful one. I was going to say the Searing Blood, the red-red.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
3 damage to creature? Or no, it was a 2 damage to creature and 3 damage to player if it dies.
Yep.
I think so. That's something, again, really good card. It sees play in some burn decks, maybe, and some other red decks. But I wouldn't say it actually, like, you know, it doesn't shift the meta in red's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I could also say maybe Magma Spray is also a nice little sideboard card as well, since we don't.
Yeah,
really,
that's actually a good one. That one does see some good play. The other, yeah, no, I think Magma Spray is a good one.
Like, we don't see.
The other one I was noticing is Thrill of Possibility. Was that first printed in Theros, or was that printed
Eldraine
Kaladesh first? Oh, maybe. Okay.
I think it's Eldraine. I'm not sure about that one. We can double check later.
Yeah, I know it's in Theros, but not. I don't know if it was first in Theros.
Yeah, we don't have Pillar of Flame yet in Pioneer, which is sad. So, Magma Spray is gonna have to do. All right, you chose red. Where do you want to go next?
Ooh, well, green.
Okay.
We can't change Wooburg order. We can just change where we start.
Yeah.
Because I'm being obnoxious today.
So you were talking about Wayfinder. You want to talk more about it?
I think that everyone knows that Wayfinder is great. It replaces itself, it blocks, it puts cards into the graveyard. You want everything.
Super enabler. What decks is it seeing play in now in Pioneer? Maybe Sultai?
Like, yeah, I think it sees some play in Sultai. I think it sees plays in some versions of the like sacrifice decks. It sees play in all of the dredge decks.
Mm-hmm.
Not the landless ones, obviously.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah, that's for another podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Seda Wayfinder is just like the best green common in the entire format, I would say. It just enables much.
That's pretty good.
It's so good with Uro as well. Yeah. Okay, you went Seda Wayfinder. I'm going to go Sylvan Caryatid as my
pick. That seems like the easy second pick there.
Yeah. So, 0/3 Hexproof. I wouldn't say it sees too much play right now, but that Hexproof is really important. It sees play.
Yeah, I mean, the Niv-Mizzet decks, yeah. I think that are always still playing them. I think some of the other ramp decks, they just want it because if you're going to ramp to big creatures, you want their Wild Slashes and their Fatal Pushes to be dead, and that's really what Caryatid does for you.
So I don't know if, you know, the new Omnath is going to make a jump to Pioneer just yet. Either outside of the Niv-Mizzet decks or in the Niv-Mizzet decks, but I think that the stonk or the stock in Sylvan Caryatid is going to go up.
Stonk.
Yeah, it's going to go up in the near future. You know, as we get into like more of these super powerful, crazy tricolor and four color cards.
Yeah, that works.
Never thought we'd see four color decks without fetch lands, but here we are.
I mean, we've been playing Niv-Mizzet for a while. Yeah. It can't be too surprising, although that does kind of cheat a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, Sylvan Caryatid, very good. Definitely better than the 2/1 that we got in War, the Dryad or whatever.
Yeah, but both of them are playable.
Yeah. So again, we come down to like our third choice. What it's really hard, I think. What would you choose as your other card that you kind of thought had an impact on Pioneer?
Again, I'm kind of flipping through here, and I'm like, oh man, I don't love any of my other answers. There's two really easy ones, and then it gets, you know, Pelucranos, I think, might be the conversation, but that really has not seen play, either of them.
Any good sideboard cards?
I had just seen something that I was like, ooh, blah, 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 but Hunt the Hunter sees some play.
I guess I'll have to help you out here. I think Unravel the Aether is a good sideboard card.
Well, that wasn't first in this, I don't think.
I think it was. I mean, you can double check real quick if you want.
Which version?
Unravel the Aether was from Born of the Gods. It's the 2-mana instant spell that puts a...
Right. Okay, I was thinking of a different one.
Yeah, puts the enchantment at the bottom of the library, which is...
Artifact or enchantment on the bottom of the library as an instant, yeah.
Which is so much better, I think, than putting it in the graveyard, because, you know, some people will use their graveyard or just get it back from the graveyard. So, you know, it's much better to just hide it.
Yeah. Especially with, like, a single win con. And, you know, I think that some of the other cards, like, there's the one now that can do artifact enchantment or exile card from a graveyard. I think that sees a little more play than Unravel does.
The kind of, like, naturalize plus the exile effect, yeah.
Return to nature,
I want to say. Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at, you know, Commune with the Gods sees a little bit of play here and there.
Is that the 6 into the graveyard?
It's 5 for 2 mana, and you get a creature or enchantment from them.
Okay.
So any of those decks that are really looking for an enchantment and care about their graveyard like that. All right, let's keep going. You know, if we only end up with 2 for each color, that's reasonable.
What about honorable mentions? What kind of stuff do you think has, like, potential or is really good and might break out in Pioneer?
I would love to see the Eidolon of Blossoms. I don't think that it deserved a spot because it's just not powerful enough, mm-hmm. but I think that it can get there. It's not that far below. Like, if we ever want a big grindy deck, I feel like we'd want that. Along with the whatever Setessan something that's kind of the 3-mana one that grows mm-hmm. from Theros. You know what else we forgot? Courser.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. So that was kind of like my honorable mention, Courser of Kruphix.
Okay.
As well as, like, Dryad of the Elysian Grove, I think that's how you say it. So kind of like those things that fix your mana or, you know, help your mana. You know, Courser keeps bringing stuff into play. Doesn't see a lot of play right now, but I think it would work really well with those decks that say, you know, put an extra card into play. Or, sorry, put an extra land into play. Put an extra land into play. We don't have was it Oracle of Moldiah? We don't have that in Pioneer, but we have Courser, which is not bad, actually. 2/4, protect itself better. And then, like, Dryad of the Elysian Grove, you know, it makes your lands all colors. That's definitely going to enable something in the future if it already hasn't.
Yeah, like, I know I've messed around with a deck on the podcast to make Citadel work with that pull of Citadel.
Yeah, so those are both good cards. I think that should see more play in the future. Just haven't found the
Let's keep going, because I know we've got a lot of multicolor we want to hit on. So white.
I'm going to do white. Okay, you go first this time.
White. Okay, well, let me jump back to what I love. Like, I don't mind saying maybe one of the heroic cards. I feel like I've had a lot of, like, honorable-ish mentions. Mm-hmm. And nothing that's like, oh man, this card's crazy. I like Elspeth. You have the 6-mana Elspeth.
Okay.
Doesn't see a ton of play. I like Chain to the Rocks. A good card, doesn't see a ton of play.
Chain to the Rocks, you know, is a really good sideboard card, I think.
Yeah, for a little while, it was seeing a lot of good play in kind of the...
Like the Lurrus. Lurrus Burn had it, I think, as well still. I think it still plays it, actually.
That's true. Yeah, and it depends on what you're trying to remove. If you're trying to remove a single Niv-Mizzet, it's really good. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to remove, like, a bunch of little things, it's, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
There's sometimes where it's great, there's sometimes it's not. But I think it's still a good card in the decks that can just kind of freely play it, especially with the Triumphs. Yeah.
So, yeah, totally agree on the Chain to the Rocks. Elspeth I like, but, again, it hasn't really found a spot yet. I just think that there's better things that control decks or mid-range decks want to be doing with 6-mana. My other, of course, we said this got a card banned. I would still say Heliod Suncrowned is one of the best white cards.
Yeah, deserves a mention. I think it would have been pretty meh outside of that interaction. Like, I don't think it would have seen play without Ballista. I mean, it doesn't see play without Ballista.
Not now, but you never know. Yeah. I think the whole life gain scheme or the life gain, archetype is just waiting for a few cards to kind of...
It's going
to
be waiting a while is what I think.
But you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was popular in historic. It'll be a tier 2 thing, but yeah, Heliod will see play again. He'll definitely show up in those life gain decks, and those decks will go crazy.
Yeah. I like both of the white sagas is something that I'm really kind of into for white.
Which sagas were in Theros?
So Elspeth Conquers Death and Birth of Miletus.
Okay,
you know, when I think about the new like the enchantments that came out of the new Theros Beyond Death, those are kind of two that really stand out for me as like just good cards. You kind of want to bounce, you kind of want to flicker, just do good value things. So I like those cards.
So the Elspeth Conquers deck, or sorry, Elspeth Conquers Death is in like the Yorion decks, right?
Yeah, that's where it sees probably the most play. Yorion, Fires Yorion, maybe some of the like Pact decks.
Yeah.
Yorion Pact, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen those. So yeah, I had that originally on my list and I kind of moved it off, but I would definitely, I can't disagree with you there. We were talking about Heroic earlier. I still think Favored Hoplite is like one of the best one drop Heroic cards in the format.
Yeah, I kind of ran through that one when I was going through my real quick, like, oh, this is close, nothing wows me. I think Favorite Hoplite's great.
If
it's the one drop.
Yeah,
it's everything you want in a one drop for Heroic.
Yeah, like in those feather decks, they play it or they don't play. I mean, it's kind of like hit or miss, but it's just so powerful. The 1/2 gets a counter, protects itself, you know, whenever you target it. So yeah, it's the best Heroic card out there.
I will give a shout out to Kithian because I think that he's, you know, just a good white aggro creature.
Yeah, we can talk about him more when we talk about Origins, but yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think if we're talking about other Heroic stuff, God's Willing, I think, first showed up in Theros, so that's a really good card, a good enabler for those types of strategies.
Yeah, do we have to thank Theros for bringing us Scry?
Maybe, I guess so, yeah. But that'd be part when we talk about the lands, reasonable. Right?
Yeah.
I would also kind of say Alcide's Bounty, the new enchantment creature that basically acts like a God's Willing. It's also a really good card from this set. I think that's in the Black-White Auras deck.
Yeah, and it kind of disappeared once Lurrus got nerfed into the Earth, but...
But still,
totally reasonable.
I want to thank it. Thank you for your service.
I want to thank you. Yes, 100%.
All right, blue is all you. I know you want to talk about blue.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the blue devotion cards. I don't think that they're like top of my list, but I can't not call out something like Master Waves because it's such a fun card.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't seen any play though, right?
I mean, I don't think you've sat at a kitchen table across from me, but
oh yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's not a great casual card, especially with Merfolk, but.
Yeah, or, you know, I was doing it with, like, Blue Devotion.
Yeah.
Elementals, yeah. Something like that. Come on, there's got to be something good. You know, Omen of the Sea might be on my list if I'm trying to narrow it down to, like, a top three.
My top three all have the same name.
What?
I mean, we just tell you my top three?
Sure, yeah.
Go Thassa's Oracle, Thassa's Intervention, and Thassa Deep Dwelling.
Okay.
So, as far as, like, high impact, Thassa's Oracle... Inverter, you know, Lotus Field. What deck does this not see play in as, you know, a combo win? Even in like the new modal lands deck, you know, the dredge deck, it's playing Thassa's Oracle in the sideboard, I believe.
We saw versions of Kethis with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I feel like the third one there is kind of the weak one of your list.
Thassa's Deep Dwelling. It's been seeing
that seems like the odd man out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been seeing some play. You know. With like the blink type decks, like you said, in the like the Yorion, blinking Yorion again to blink everything, or blinking the enchantments, like in the Demonic Pact decks, it hasn't seen a lot of play. But that ability is kind of neat. I think it has more uses in Pioneer than the other one does, which is, you know, just good for like blue aggro.
Okay.
Yeah, Thassa's Intervention, I think, saw a lot more play than, like, Sphinx Revelation. Maybe not so much recently, but for a few seasons there, Thassa's Intervention was really good to be able to counter something. It become, like, a super syncopate, basically, right? It's X twice.
Yeah, or it's a draw spell. So yeah. When you don't want... Like, when you want a draw two spell... There's some games where that's just really bad, and that gives you an out in those games.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's better in the combo strategies or the combo type decks where you need to dig really deep to find your combo piece. And, of course, you know, you're going to be able to use Dig Through Time as well, but, you know, this is like a nice little supplement to those decks.
Okay.
Any other blue cards you want to talk about?
Blue, honorable yeah, not mentions. Doing so hot in my book. So one that I think maybe an honorable mention just needs to get mentioned is that one day Retraction Helix plus Jeskai Ascendancy is going to get broken again. I don't know when it is, but it's going to happen.
Now, didn't they put that on Sylvan Caryatid? And then just bounce everything?
So what you'd do is you would bounce something that costs zero and then recast it, which untaps Caryatid, and then you can just do that unlimited times. It gets infinitely big. You cycle through your whole deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly. It's just, it's combo so brain... How can I say? Brain intensive.
Ryan does not have combo brain.
I do not have combo brain. I hate math. I'm not good at maths. I would think Swan Song's also an honorable mention for me. I think it's a really good sideboard card.
Yeah, that's definitely on our list of like cards not to forget about. Yeah. No one really.
All right, next black.
Okay, so do you want to take it?
Okay, Thoughtseize.
Thoughtseize. Yeah. This is the card.
Thank you.
From the block, from the era, from the
the number one season. Years. I was so excited when they said that Theros is going to be in Pioneer. I was like, yes, Thoughtseize is back.
My number one most hated card. Love Not because it. I don't like playing against it, but because it adds, you know, whatever it's at, $80 to the price of every single black deck in the entire format.
That's why I bought like 20 when they were like $8.
Oh my goodness.
And I sold them all when they were 20 bucks.
Well, there you go.
I only have four left, but it's all good. I like tripled my money. But anyways, yeah, Thoughtseize, great card. Gotta play.
My number two choice is also Thoughtseize.
Yeah. And number three choice, Thoughtseize.
And then it's Gary.
Yeah. Is Gary your honorable mention, or do you think he'd actually make
it
in the top three?
I mean, he was seeing play for a little bit, so I think he's not only, maybe he's an honorable mention because I think he'll get better one day.
Yeah.
When something else kind of enables him, like how in Historic they got the Obliterator and that made him good. Right now, maybe he makes it on the list, maybe he doesn't. I don't think he has to.
Yeah, he's in my honorable mentions. Definitely has a lot of potential once, you know, Mono Black Devotion finds its footing again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we talked about Thoughtseize. What other two black cards did you have on your list?
You know, Hero's Downfall, I think, has gotten outclassed somehow, but it was the end all be all for a little while. One that I think needs to be on the list is Cling to Dust.
Okay.
Maybe as a sideboard card, but that's the one black that exiles a card from a graveyard, and then if it's a creature, you gain three. If it was a non-creature, you draw a card, and you can escape it so you can cast it more than once.
So are you playing that over cards like Leyline of the Void or Grafdigger's Cage?
Depending on the deck, yes, definitely.
I mean, it's instant, right? So,
yeah, it's an instant. The fact that you can recast it and, you know, you can get card advantage out of this card, mm-hmm. whereas a card like Leyline or Grafdigger's Cage is actually negative card advantage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My hot take for black, Woe Strider. Sorry, can you hear me?
Is which?
Woe Strider.
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, I like that one.
Just as, you know, it's showing up a lot in the, I want to say the Citadel decks, and it's also showing up in the, Jundakrats?
Yeah.
I think as well, or the just the straight black-red. So it's been a really good enabler, works really good alongside Mayhem Devil. Yeah, so Woe Strider, solid, solid card. Hard to get rid of. All right.
Yeah, I think I'm fine to just go to a multicolor. There's some small ones, you know, like Eat to Extinction sees some play. Some of the enchantments see play in the enchantment decks.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm down to jump over there.
Yeah, let's go to multicolor. I only had a few, so.
Yeah, I think there's a few that do need to really be called out, though. Let's start with the Titan on everyone's.
Yeah, the Titan in the room. Yes.
Kroxa and Uro.
Yep. Definitely.
I don't think we have to go too deep into these. They are obviously bringing a huge amount to Pioneer for any decks that can play them, which is any decks in those colors, and that's most decks because they want to be playing them. So self-fulfilling prophecy there.
Okay, so aside from our Titans, which need not be named, what other cards would you recommend for multicolor? Which one?
Well, I was naming them, even though you told me not to.
Okay.
I would love for Fleece Maid Lion to be good, but Green White has not been a deck.
Yeah, that was in my honorable mentions. It was such a solid card and great card for Abzan and, you know, all those other aggro decks back in the day. And it could have its time to shine again if we ever get, like, a really good zoo type option. But, yeah, right now, sitting in limbo.
Sitting in Womp Womp Land.
Yeah. I have Dream Trawler on my list. I thought that's a really solid closer, or how can I say, beater for like the control type decks.
I like that. Okay.
And especially they could finish somebody off with a Sphinx Revelation, you know, X for 7 or 8, and then, you know, attack for 13 in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So Dream Trawler's a really good card for control.
Yeah, I think the newer sets have gotten a little better at making good multicolored cards. So a lot more of my multicolor are there. I think Clothis deserves a mention.
Yes, also another card.
Sees play in a handful of places.
Hasn't seen a lot of play, though, has it?
It does. You know, I think a lot of the like green-red stompy decks kind of play it. You see it in some of the Niv-Mizzet decks. You kind of see it here and there. Like, it kind of just fits a spot that people like to play.
Sideboard, or is it mainboard, usually?
Yeah, mainboard's fine.
I
don't think the Exile effect is so good of a hate card that it's answering a ton, but just having it around doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I like that it's like hate and it's also a threat and it's also a clock. You know, it fills three very good spots in a deck.
Yeah.
Anything?
I think Atriss also sees a little bit of play.
What's that?
Atriss, Oracle of Half-Truths, the like 4-mana, 3/2 menace human. That
the black
you look blue? At the top three cards and you get a pile. They face up, yeah. Face down, you get one pile of your choice.
What's that scene play in, though?
It's seen play in some of the like the Sultai decks, some of the grindier decks, you okay. know, maybe some
fringe decks.
I don't know. Here and there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Alright, so what are we...
We're missing lands and artifacts. See more?
Oh yeah, let's quick go over lands and artifacts. I can think of like one kind of big one, really.
Okay, what is it?
Mono Confluence.
Yes. That was
we already mentioned Nykthos.
Yeah, well, we didn't manage Nykthos. I guess we did. We talked about, you know, Devotion. So yeah, Nykthos definitely is on the list. Mono Confluence. We still don't have Painlands for half of the colors.
Ugh.
So until then, Mono Confluence is going to be super pricey and super expensive.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, because it's a good card.
Yeah, it's like 20, 30 bucks. I mean, it would be half the price if they had the rest of the pain lands, I think. You agree or disagree?
Maybe, maybe not. You know, the three-color decks would still want it.
But like
three or four-color decks.
But, you know, I guess it kind of helps a little bit with, like, the new modal lands. We can choose the sides, the fast lands from those. In the new Zendikar set kind of helped out, you know, with stuff like Winota. But still, I think, yeah, like you said, any 3D color deck is going to be playing Mono Confluence, especially if they're aggressive. And of course, yeah, Scrylands. You said bring in the Scry. I think that was like a really big thing that Theros brought back to, or that brings to Pioneer.
Mm. Yeah, they don't see a ton of play, but where they see play, they're nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You're happy to have them.
Exactly. So yeah, did you want to make predictions now? Did you want to maybe talk a little about like what did we get right and wrong when we talked about Theros, Beyond Death, in our set review? What do you feel like talking about next?
Oh yeah, I don't think I know of any like big ones for Theros, Beyond Death that I was like, this card's gonna be bonkers, and then it was like, I think we kind of called the obvious ones, yeah. Like the Titans, and I think we, you know, I can't think of any big ones that we missed, so I'm kind of like, yeah, I think we did fine when we went over that set review. Maybe you guys can go back and listen to it again, tell us what we did wrong. I probably should have listened to it again.
What about the predictions or things you'd like to see come from a Theros set in the future?
Yes. So this is what I definitely would like to see is I want to see enchantments be good again.
Yes.
I want to see white be good again.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of one big complaint about the new Theros Beyond Death is that this is supposed to be an enchantment set. White is supposed to have good enchantments. If you're going to put Banishing Light, like Banishing Light was a little bit, just a tiny bit, just like this little smidge better than the white removal that was in standard at the time, mm-hmm. as far as enchantment removal. But you put it in a set where every color is getting good enchantment removal because it's an enchantment set. So you put it in the set where it's going to be the weakest. I feel like it needed to be a 2-mana spell.
Yeah.
in the exact same spot and would have been perfectly reasonable and you know, playable in Pioneer. So I want to see better enchantments. I want enchantment matter cards.
I'm always
love to see that be an archetype.
Yeah, I mean, I think I always talk about the Starfield of Nyx jank, you know, in other set reviews. So I would love to see more cards that could support that, that could actually be playable, you know, and maybe, yeah, like an Enchantress deck, I guess. Like you said, Idiana Blossoms, something like that. Another card that I was kind of surprised we didn't see was, like, you know, I have a Tempest block cube, and one of the cards in there is called Winds of Wrath, which is destroy all creatures without enchantments on them. Seems like that would have been like a slam dunk to have that kind of ability, that kind of card that attacks all creatures without or with enchantments on them. Okay, with might be a little bit, creatures, only hitting creatures with auras is probably not good, but having something that kills all the creatures without enchantments would have been really nice, especially as a four drop.
Yeah, that'd been cool.
Yeah, anything else?
More heroic? No, so I just, yeah, real quick, just like thinking, is there anything plot-wise that you want to see still happen in Theros? Like, I think I'm a little disappointed with the storyline in Theros Beyond Death. I don't feel like we heard or saw all that much interesting stuff. I don't think that, like, I felt like Elspeth's escape from the underworld was kind of underwhelming, especially because one of the key figures in her escape from the underworld died before the set even came out.
I didn't read any of it because it was like behind a paywall, wasn't it?
I don't even know. I mean, yeah, maybe it was. Maybe I didn't follow everything. But, you know, a while before even the set came out, we knew that Dak was in the underworld with Elspeth.
Yeah.
And then we see him on Ravnica die, and we're just like, okay.
Yeah.
I almost thought that they were gonna, like, you know, have this Theros set take place before war and have it be like a flashback to Elspeth escaping and then have her show up in the last scene of war as like a big hero. That would have been cool.
Nobody thinks of cool things at Wizards of the Coast. Yeah. Or I would say none of the writers think of anything that
what
cool.
I was hoping for is that Elspeth would be, you know, Captain Marvel. So, like, so, you know, end of the set before War of the Spark, or no, or even like, yeah,
brings like God War of the Spark,
you see, you know, the Wanderer, this like weird white planeswalker wandering around, we don't know who it is, and then yeah, all of a sudden we need a sword that can kill gods, and
Shadow Spear, Pharaoh, right?
Or she shows up from and then we go in flashback, you know, the Captain Marvel movie is Theros Beyond Death, back before War of the Spark, showing how she's... Okay.
So War is basically Endgame, right?
hire me, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hire me, wizards.
Okay.
No, these are terrible ideas. Don't even... I mean... Yeah, I think I'd love to see, you know, more of the graveyard, more of the enchantments. I don't think we have to go back to Theros anytime soon, but I do love devotion. I do love enchantments. I wish that more of it was playable.
Yeah. Hopefully we get some good reprints too. I wouldn't mind seeing a lot of these show up in like core sets in the future either.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like Chain to the Rocks or something like that again, just to...
Yeah, that's a fair one. That one doesn't have any keywords that would stop it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
all right, you want to wrap up our show? I think that's a pretty good cover of what Theros brings to Pioneer. I'm sorry. These dogs need to be quiet. I will shush them afterwards, but they were napping when we started the episode, and they woke up at some point. Anyways, guys, reach out to us. Tell us what we did, what we like, what we hate, everything. Just yell at us. We want you to yell at us. That's how starved for attention we are. You can find me at MTG Pioneer on Twitter, the one and only MTG Pioneer Twitter. You can find our Discord link from there. There's also a Reddit page for us. There's sort of there's a Discord associated to that Reddit. A lot of ways to reach out to and find us.
Yeah, you can.
We'd love to hear from you.
You can leave comments on our Podbean channel as well. And we also have Spotify where you can find us. You can listen to us on there.
Look up my name, stalk me, mail me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's probably some cards that we missed or some archetypes or something that we passed over. So please, you know, come to the Discord and, you know, give us some feedback. Let us know what we should talk about, you know, next time we do like a topic on Theros. Anyways, my name's Ryan. You can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, YOSCHWENKY. And if you feel like checking out my website, I update it from time to time whenever there's magic stuff going on in Japan. That is www.thejapanhobbyist.com.
All right, and I am going to bring us to the end of our show. Thank you guys for listening. We are the First Pioneers Podcast, your go-to source for pioneer information online. Signing off.